Gosh.
Okay. I'll aim for them. Well, we are continuing looking at some of God's teaching and encouragement for us in our fellowship and the intensity and strength of our union together. And we looked last week, we began looking at the issue of praying for each other. And we're going to continue looking at that. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to start reading in verse 18, where Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and then through the church at Ephesus to all the churches. And he says, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And this is one of those times where what I, as I was preparing, was starting out to be one point along the way, ended up becoming an entire sermon in and of itself. And I would like us to look at just a few aspects of the words that God chose to use in verse 18. And he's telling us, as we've already seen in James 5, where we're commanded to pray for one another, Paul's now commanding that again. He says, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." So again, this command to be praying for this circle of believers is put on the front burner for us again. But I would like us to look at some of the very specific words, again, that God chose to put here. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray for the saints. And that word saints, most of you know, just means God's holy ones. It doesn't mean the people that some institution voted were the best of the best. It means all of you who've put your faith in Jesus Christ. You are the saints. And that's how Scripture addresses you. You are the holy ones of God if you are in Christ. You carry His holiness. You bear His holiness. God sees you through His holiness. You are the holy ones. And the believers are commanded to pray for the saints. So that command in front of us again, but now we're told, see, which one do I want to do first? Okay. Let's start here. If I can spell the word be. Who would have thought that would be my word of challenge today? Be on the alert. And there's some pretty cool and interesting and very applicable truths for us to pull out of this word that God chose to use here, alert. First of all, as I was doing a little background research on the word in the Greek, and what came to mind, I remember when I was in the Marine Corps a long, long time ago, that one of the words or one of the phrases that was real common for a while, and I presume it's still common, is that they were really trying to hammer into us, really trying to get down into our bones, that we had a mindset of situational awareness. And that situational awareness was almost equivalent to the meaning of this word alert. That God is saying, I want you to remain very aware of the total situation while you're praying. So looking at that aspect of war and combat, where we're recognizing we have an enemy. So part of our alertness is that we're alert to the enemy's schemes. And if you'll turn to 1 Peter 5:8, again, a passage that we frequently hear quoted, but applying it here, in 1 Peter 5, Peter has just finished telling us to remain humble before God. He's just finished telling us that we have this spot of safety and security before God. And in this place where we humble ourselves before God, we now have the authority to cast all of our cares, all of our anxieties on Him. Because in this place where we're safe with Him, there's the confidence that God actually and profoundly cares for us. So we're not just, again, we're not just worrying at God, and that somehow worrying at God is going to make us feel better. We're bringing our worries to Him with the confidence that this Father will do something that expresses His care for us. And then right after telling us that we have that standing and we have that confidence, Peter says this in verse 8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. So many layers to this that we could put into this recognition of alertness. That we're alert to the enemy's schemes. We won't go there, but in 2 Corinthians 2:11, we're in fact told that we not be ignorant of the schemes of the devil. So the devil is a schemer. He's an intelligent planner. And here in 1 Peter 5, we're being told he's on the prowl. He's not just sitting in his office planning. He's out on the territory. He's out in combat, patrolling for someone he can take down. And you're it. You're the one he's targeting. And that person you're getting ready to pray for, they're it. They're the person the enemy's targeting. So we get to be situational aware. We have an enemy. He has schemes. But Paul didn't write everything. Do you remember when Paul took on his pseudonym of Peter so he could write a couple of extra books and get them slid in there? No. This is actually Peter writing. And Peter says that even though you're aware of that enemy prowling, to be firm in your faith. So he's not saying be afraid, be very, very afraid. He's just saying be alert and then be confident of the right things that give you authority against that enemy. So the firmness of our faith, our confidence in the care of this Father, the absolute certainty that we know how this war ends. And that's what those next two verses go into. We know how the war ends. And that's really supposed to change the way we fight the battle. It's really supposed to change the way we fight the battle. That we consciously, by choice, agree with God on how this war ends. And I know that you have known folks, and I've known folks, and there's probably been moments when I was those folks, who get so aware of the enemy. It's as if God took a vacation and now it's just me and the enemy. That will never be true. So we're aware of the enemy's schemes. We're on the alert because we're aware that he is a prowling enemy. He is an active enemy. He's out on the terrain looking to destroy the person we're praying for. But we're firm in our faith. And that partly means I'm also confident of God's power, His authority, His win, His victory. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. And before Paul got to this part, he's already told us something about the battle. Starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. So again, he's using that word firmness. He's reminding us there really is a war. The reason I'm alert is because there really is a war. There really is an enemy. But he's already telling us you're equipped to win this war. If you stand, if you and I choose to stand in the firmness of this faith and the firmness of His strength, we're equipped to win. And he goes on and says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. You know, just that one verse clarifies the war. And it's a pretty sobering verse. But again, that verse gets put in the context that he's saying the power of God is mightier than this. Choose that. So when we're praying and we're on the alert, this has to rule over this. When you're praying for me and when I'm praying for you, I need to be praying in recognition you're in a war. You may not know it, you may not feel it, you may not be aware of the details of that combat today. But the truth is, today you will be at war. And it will also be true that God has prepared for you everything necessary for your victory. And I want to be in alliance with that. It's going to be real hard to pray for your victory if I'm thinking defeat. So I get to be on the alert, aware of God's power and authority, and choosing that on purpose. This is about a mindset, not just do I believe the doctrine. I know I say that a lot. It is crucial for us to recognize God doesn't just want us agreeing with doctrines. He wants us learning to think a different way. That when we pray, we would keep learning to think this way. Father, I'm getting ready to pray for Bob. And today, Bob will be at war. And today, Bob's enemy is real. And Bob's enemy has power. But the reason I'm praying for him is because I am in Christ with greater power and greater authority than that enemy. And Bob has access to that power and authority in Christ. That's why I'm praying, and that's what I'm praying toward. That I have a mindset growing increasingly in that. Now, there's also a sense of, I'm aware of the circumstances. So if I'm going to pray for somebody, then I'm aware of their circumstances. Look back at Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul, in verse 19 and 20, he asked for prayer for himself. And then in 21, he says this, "But that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord, will make everything known to you. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us and that he may comfort your heart." Flip over to Colossians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 4. Let's start at verse 2, where he's reiterating the same thing. He says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I've also been in prison, that I make it clear the way I ought to speak." Then drop down to verse 7. "As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant of the Lord, will bring you information. For I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number, they will inform you about the whole situation." So it's interesting that here in two crucial moments where Paul is saying, "Please pray for me," he immediately says, "Oh, and by the way, I'm going to make sure you know what to pray for. I'm sending someone specifically for this purpose, that they fill you in on the circumstances that we're dealing with." So Paul's saying, "I'm asking for this general request. Please pray for me that I'll speak the word, that I'll preach effectively, that the right things will get out of my mouth and have their effect. But I want you to know all the details of what I'm dealing with here, so that when you pray for that, you're praying with clarity, you're praying with understanding." So that's part of what we do here every Sunday when we share some of the specific needs. We're saying, "I want to make sure that somebody is aware of my circumstances. I want to make sure that somebody is aware of circumstances of another brother or sister that we're going to be praying for. We need to be aware of their circumstances." We could just have a list of names. Now, what's interesting is when we do it that way, we're familiar with them. So when we first started praying with Aaron, it was, you know, "Bless grandma, bless grandpa, bless the other grandma, bless the other grandpa, bless mommy, bless daddy." It was just sort of a general blessing. But as she matures, she's called to get more detailed in her prayer. She's called to become situationally aware of what each of those people she's praying for is facing. And now to make her prayers an active component of partnership with God's purposes in those lives. So again, if I'm going to be aware of God's power and authority and when, and we'll come back to this, I'm also aware of his purposes. And then I can see how this person's circumstances either fit or challenge or defy those purposes. Now I know how to pray. So this situational awareness, this alertness, is a mindset that to some extent, all of us, I would say, if we're believers and we've been praying, to some extent, we already have some of this. You couldn't even be praying and growing in prayer without developing some of this. But what God's calling us to, and what Paul is challenging the believers of Ephesus to, is grow in this mindset. Choose to be more alert in the days ahead than you were in the days past. Choose to have a deeper awareness of the battle that's going on. A deeper awareness of God's power and authority that you possess and that God desires for that person. And a deeper, more intimate freedom and openness to keep learning about each other's circumstances and do battle on the real terrain. Do battle on the real battle. Now, after saying be on the alert, he then says, which one? Perseverance. So I can't spell the word be, but please take note. The word perseverance is correctly spelled. I wrote a 12-letter word correctly, okay? A little credit. This means that I last. I keep going in prayer. And one of the things that again matters in perseverance is, first of all, that I think it's worth doing. And we won't reiterate everything from last week's sermon, but last week's sermon was about the fact that it's worth doing. That not only am I commanded to do it, but it's not a hollow exercise. That you and I, as the body of Christ, we carry out the purposes of God on planet Earth, and that includes prayer. It's worth doing. So we won't cover all that again. The other thing is that I recognize if I'm going to persevere, realistically, I need a plan. If I don't have a plan, my mood, my emotions, my circumstances, and even more, my memory. These have the power to sabotage my perseverance if I don't have a plan. So one thing we talked about last week was having a list, a simple list. One of my suggestions was use the list that's already been prepared that's called our church, what do we call that? Church roster? Directory. Church directory. So that you have a simple printed tool that can sit right in front of you, be tucked right in your Bible, be sitting there right next to your computer, be sitting there in whatever place you tend to have times of prayer, so that you're not depending on your memory. You've already made a commitment with God. Father, every time I see this directory, I will be, by agreement with you, I will be reminded to pray for some of these people. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to pray for everybody in that directory every single time you pray, but that you're committed to praying for everybody in that directory sometime. That you recognize that this entire body is your circle of spiritual care. So one of the things we talked about last week is that God delegates to you authority to have a genuine, effective impact through Him and in Him in the lives of the people that He's put in your circle of spiritual care. We're it. We're your spiritual circle of care. Now, actually, your spiritual circle of care is larger than this because you also have family and neighbors and co-workers and other people that God will say, I brought them into your life. Pay attention to that. Be on the alert on their behalf in prayer. But that directory is how you remember that I'm committed to this circle of care. This will be one of the ways I remember. We'll come back to another part of that plan in a moment. But then he says, in the Spirit. Now, God doesn't say things just to fill up space. God doesn't add things just because they sound fluffy and religious. When God is saying, pray in the Spirit, there is something that He's really trying to communicate to us. And there might be many layers of that we can't get to today, but I want to at least look at three. One is that He's addressing our agreement with our position, with our identity, with our authority. This is still actually one thing. With our union that the Holy Spirit accomplishes. Go to Romans chapter 8, No comments? No. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Where God's telling us, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So he's telling us that this is our position. The Holy Spirit isn't some distant reality. The Holy Spirit isn't a wind that periodically blows through and gets stuff done. The Spirit is now our position. We are in the Spirit. It's where we dwell. And he goes on to apply this. If you go down to verse 14. He says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you've not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also. Now, this recognition, if I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm making some agreements with God that my prayer life is not just a routine of, okay, I said I pray for these people. Dear God, help him, help her, help the doctors know what to do, help them find a job, help them sell their house. I'm not just going through a list of requests, but I'm actually choosing a mindset of agreement with God. Father, I am seated in Christ. I am in the Holy Spirit. I am equipped to do this effectively. I agree with that position. I agree with this power and authority. I agree. I'm not just doing a routine. And now sometimes you'll know and sometimes I know when I sort of slip into a routine. There are times when I'm praying and I can recognize, you know what? I just prayed for 17 things. I have no idea what I prayed for. I wasn't even paying attention to my own prayer. I just slipped into a routine. And that's not okay. It doesn't mean I have to wallow in guilt. It just means I say, oh, Father, I stepped away from my alertness. I stepped away from speaking and choosing and agreeing in the Spirit. I just want to be back on track, Father. This is real stuff you and I are doing. I really have the authority to do this. I am going to pray as someone who is actually in your Spirit. I'm going to pray as someone who is in your presence. I'm going to pray as someone who has authority, delegated authority as the body of Christ to do this. I want to actually grow that mindset. Now, one of the things that I want to encourage you guys to expect, that as you keep choosing these things, a month from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, that awareness will be stronger. This is not just a matter of think it for a week and then drop it and we'll move on to the next thing. That as you keep choosing and I keep choosing, we will genuinely change our mindset and pray more effectively, more with more alertness and with more agreement about what it means to be in the Spirit. Now, also the leadership of the Spirit. One of the things that verse 14 there of Romans 8 said, if you look at verse 14, all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So part of our identity, part of our position is we are sons of God led. Now, I've been in churches before where this tended to sometimes get freaky. So I'll try to put a balance on it to say this. You and I get to expect that when we're praying for one another with alertness, with an agreement to pray in the Spirit, that there are times when the Holy Spirit will lead us to pray deeper or different than we would have prayed just based on our human knowledge. Most of you have probably experienced that at some point. When you're praying for somebody and something intangible of the work of the Holy Spirit in you moves you to start praying for a particular challenge in their life, praying for a particular need in their life. Kids and I were talking upstairs. This is not a matter of always happening this way, but there may be times when you literally wake up at 4 in the morning and you know that you know, that the Holy Spirit is leading you to pray for someone specific. And again, you don't have to get all freaky. You don't have to expect that there's always going to be some kind of strange revelation. You're just expecting that the Holy Spirit will lead you to pray. That if you're a real prayer warrior available for battle, the Holy Spirit's not stupid. He will put you to work. He will delight in the fact that you're available to do real spiritual battle on my behalf and me on your behalf and each of us on each other's behalf. The Holy Spirit will love that And he will lead us in actually praying more effectively for each other. We should expect this. This is not freaky stuff. This is normal Christian life to expect the leadership of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And we get to pray for it. We get to be available for it. You know,
that's not the word I meant to write. Actually, it is the word I meant to write. It's just the wrong word.
I said we were going to come back to the purposes. And we're coming back to the purposes while we're looking at the Holy Spirit here. One of the things, right there in verse 26 of Romans chapter 8, I didn't plan this. It's just all really there in Romans chapter 8. He says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So here's this beautiful partnership that's being described for us, that the Holy Spirit is already interceding and praying for the person we're praying for. We're already being told that we can follow his lead. But we're recognizing something here, that the Holy Spirit obviously and truly prays in line with God's purposes for that person. And that's what we're offering ourselves to. Father, I want to keep understanding your purposes in Bob's life, or Susie's life, or Jim's life, or whoever I'm praying for. I actually want to grow deeper in my understanding of your purposes. Now, one of the things that I actually had fun doing this week, and some of you, like me, will need a magnifying glass, because in order to fit it all on one page, I went to tiny font. But what this is that you're getting right now, this is just a gathering, and I don't even want to claim that it's a complete gathering, because I'm sure it's not. But it's a gathering of prayers in the New Testament for believers. Did I keep one for me? Yes, I did. Now, you'll notice as you're getting your hand out, that one of the things is there's five different passages that talk about me. If I'm going to pray for you, the mindset that I should have while I'm praying for you. That I would pray without ceasing to give thanks for you. That I would pray, as we're looking at right now, to pray at all times in the Spirit. That I would offer my prayer for you with thanks and joy. That I would pray on the alert with all perseverance. That I would keep alert with an attitude of thanksgiving. So you can go back and read those passages and see the larger context. But this is what God's challenging me to choose while I'm praying for you. And then the whole rest of that page are actual prayers out of the New Testament where Paul or someone is praying. Now that first one that says experiencing and choosing, those are all the prayers of Jesus for us in John 17. Our oneness with God and other believers. The joy of Christ himself. Protection from the evil one. Being sanctified in the truth of his word. Being perfected or matured in unity. Seeing the glory of Jesus Christ. Sharing the very same love that the Father and the Son enjoy together. Coming to understand and enjoy Jesus Christ himself dwelling in you. Jesus prayed for those things. Those are powerful, valuable, effective things for you and I to be praying for each other. To ally ourselves, to participate on purpose in the very things that Jesus prayed about. I would love for every one of you who's willing to be praying these for me this week. All who are in favor. No, I'm lying. You abstain from that. We have a volunteer. Absolutely. These are powerful and valuable things to pray for, because this is the very mind of Christ, what he desires for you and what he desires for me. And now I get to apply that. And the more I understand your circumstances, the more I know the challenges, the history, the difficulties, the temptations, the setbacks that you're dealing with, the more effectively I can pray for these specific things to be growing in your life. Then he goes on. I've gone on and included other prayers from other passages in the New Testament that were for believers. Now, this is a lot. So I'm going to give you the whole week to memorize this list. Don't memorize the list. Keep the list handy. But this is what I'm saying. You need a plan. This can be one tool in that plan. That in the same way the church directory can be a tool in your plan to persevere in prayer for us, this can be a tool in your hand to just say, you know what, I don't have to keep bumping into passages. I have right here a gathering of very wise and effective and valuable things to be praying for the people I'm praying for. So it's a tool. It's not a complete tool. You will still, in fact, the bottom line is, if I was going to make that a real effective list, pretty much the entire New Testament would be on this page. Because everything you see that God desires and teaches, you can be praying for me and I can be praying for you. But this is, to me, a valuable and exciting list, because these are things that Paul specifically said. Here's what I'm praying for you. I wonder if all of those are Paul. Is there any Peter, James, Jude in there?
We have some Hebrews.
We have some Hebrew. Whoever wrote that. I'm inclined to think it was Paul, but it might not have been. So we're gonna go ahead and end with this, but I would encourage you that you and I actually go back and ponder these things. That God is telling us to pray in the Spirit. God is commanding us to stay on the alert, to be situationally aware of what we're dealing with as we're praying. Aware of the enemy, aware of the Father's authority, aware of that person's circumstances. That we're praying with perseverance. We have a plan to not let things sabotage us. That our fallible memory won't stop us, our circumstances and mood won't stop us. And that we also have a commitment that we want to do this powerfully and supernaturally. So we just keep growing a mindset that we will pray in the Spirit. Again, that's not meant to be freaky stuff, but it is, hear this, it is absolutely meant to be supernatural stuff that we could not do alone. It is absolutely meant to be something that only God Himself can do through us, because we choose that partnership, we choose that mindset. Have a week of exciting and joyful prayer for the body. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you equip us to grow. None of us is finished, and every one of us has what we need to just grow the next step. And Father, I thank you that your word is part of that. That you give us insight, you give us teaching, you give us encouragement. You give us a sense of our calling and a sense of our power and authority. That we're not just wishing we could grow. Father, I am powerfully equipped to grow. Every son of God, every daughter of God sitting in this room, we are powerfully equipped to grow. Father, I pray very simply that your Spirit would strengthen in me the determination, and strengthen in each one of us the determination that we will grow with joy and thanksgiving. That we won't grow because we won't. That we won't grow with grumbling or resistance. We won't grow with resentment at this call. We won't disqualify ourselves. We'll recognize that we are equipped. Father, help us to grow with joy, to grow with excitement, to grow with strong agreement. We need you, Father. We can't do any of this without your Spirit. And we want to thank you specifically that you have placed the very life of Jesus Christ in us. That we are in you and you are in us to make this possible. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.